And it just feels good to feel Jesus today. I'm glad that God's in control. When everything in the world is going chaotic and seem to be out of control, God has it. Amen. Amen. He's the one that has it. You're not going to fix all the problems of the world because it's not going to get any better. Amen. Hallelujah. But I have a better thing. Praise God. The power of God in my life. Amen. We're so thankful that you're here today, every saint of God. Amen. Our youth class may be dismissed. Won't you stand? We want to go to the second chapter of Acts today. Acts chapter 2 in your Bibles. You would just open your word there. The 37th chapter, 37th verse of the second chapter. Amen. And we read this, we get excited because this is a familiar passage of Scripture. Powerful what God's done. And I love to read this to people that's never heard it before. I love to tell them what God will do. People that's never, ever seen the things of God. I love to be that first one. Don't you? Amen. I love it when the Lord, amen, helps them, amen, to get an understanding of who He is. And I love when God reveals the plan to somebody's soul. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. Something got a hold of their heart. And when they were pricked in the heart, they realized, realization happened when they heard the word of God. When it came, it was like a light turned on. They were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify. A lot more he said. And exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word. Everybody say gladly received. Were baptized. They obeyed and were baptized. And the same day they were adding unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. Verse 46. Let me get through reading 45. As every man had need. 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. I love that part. It says, when they heard this, they were pricked in the hearts and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? I want to preach to you just for a few moments today when God turns the light on. Are you thankful for that day that God turned the light on for you? Amen. In a world of confusion and darkness, amen, I'm glad that God still can turn the light on for somebody. Amen. Why don't you lift your hands, and I want you to thank the Lord for the light of His Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for the amazing touch that you give us. Lord, for the opportunity today to live for you and to be for you, to walk for you, God, to represent you, but to be full of you today, Lord, full of the Holy Ghost, and to wear your name and to have your blood in our life. We give you praise and we worship you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody ought to put your Bible down, and I want you to clap your hands to the Lord today. Come on, give God that offering of thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus, for turning the light on for me. Woo! Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. You remember the day God turned the light on for you? Do you remember the day you seen the importance of repentance? The day that God began to prick your heart. You found yourself in the pig pen. And you realize just how ugly sin is. You could be raised in church. You could be raised around in a good home and still live a pig pen sinful life. Amen. But do you remember that day God turned a light on and pricked your heart with conviction? If you haven't come to that place, you need an experience with God where God will turn the light on. Amen. And then you repented of your sin. They said, men and brother, what shall we do? Peter stood up with the 11 and said, you got to repent. It was in the word of the Lord. It's quoted in Acts. Said that God at one time winked at ignorance, but now commandeth every man everywhere to repent. Repentance is not an option. Repentance is still a must. Jesus told them, except ye repent, you're going to perish. In old country boy language, if you don't turn, you're going to burn. I'm thankful for that day that I repented of my sins. Amen. It was more than just saying, God, I'm sorry. But friend, repentance is also a turning to God. If you don't turn, you're going to burn. Amen. Pricked in the hearts. The light was turned on. And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Look at your neighbor, said, that includes me. Includes you. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And I listened to a little bit of explanation yesterday of two men talking about whether it was important to use or call on the name of Jesus in water baptism. One of these guys called himself a rabbi, and I got to thinking, he ain't too much of a rabbi if he don't know who Yeshua is. You see, back in Psalms it said, with joy shall you draw waters from the wells of salvation. All through the Old Testament, that word salvation is Yeshua. That's the word with Yeshua. And if you look at it in the English, in the New Testament, that means Jesus. Oh, Jesus, if you don't understand what it means, Jesus has become our salvation. Oh, friend. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You see in Matthew 28:19, Jesus gave the great commission. He said, go, preach, teach, and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice they put it up here. Amen. And I'm just going to take my time and just preach with the word and what God has given me today. Amen. You got to be baptized in the name. You see it? It don't say names. It says the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. How many remember that day that God turned the light on for you and you seen that? You seen the need of being baptized in the name. Amen. The name that is above every name. The name of Jesus. You know that the name of the Father is Jesus. Jesus said, I'm come in my Father's name. And I'm glad that one day the light turned on that I seen. I know the name of the Son. And I know the name of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, friend, in every place afterward, every time the disciples obeyed this great commission, Acts the 2nd chapter we read, Acts the 8th chapter, Acts the 10th chapter, Acts the 19th chapter, the 22nd chapter of Acts. Each one of them refers to being baptized in the name. Somebody say the name. I'm glad for the day that God turned the light on. But there have been those that don't like the light. 326 AD and even before 326, even there was a group of religious scholars that were already after the name. People don't like the name. They don't want the power of the name. And immediately these scholars begin to have a council. And these religious men begin to feel like, well, you know, it's okay to baptize outside of the name of Jesus. Hey, friend, we still got to obey the book, don't we? I love it when we look in the Word of God and we see they obey. They gladly obey. They gladly receive the Word. And so this council of so-called religious people, you could get religious and don't know who God is. I said you could get religious, you could become a churchgoer and miss out the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad we felt something when we start singing some blood songs this morning. I'm glad that we felt the glory of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to ever get to the place where I can't feel the power of the Holy Ghost. So these religious scholars, they completely in their ordinances, in their decrees and credences, said, we're going to start baptizing in a different formula, utilizing just the titles instead of the name. And it's crazy when history would tell you you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. I want to be baptized the way the apostles were baptized. Look in your encyclopedias. You look online and you'll find that ancient documents of our history tells us, amen, that people, amen, from the very beginning of time were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm glad for that day that God turned the light on in my life. And I love it when I'm sitting there or I am standing before a group of men and women. And for the first time ever, whenever I share these things with them, they see the light turn on and they recognize how important it is for them to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. Today I said that to say this, if you haven't been baptized yet in the name of Jesus Christ, you need to hurry it up. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sin. Acts 2:38 says, and repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name. Everybody say the name. Amen. Of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Next verse. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Let me tell you what happened last week. Right before Brother Neil and Sister Lauren's wedding, Sister C and I that morning decided we wanted to go get breakfast. And we rarely eat breakfast together, but we always try to drink coffee together. And kind of a little bit of husband and wife communion. And we decided to go to Cracker Barrel in Vicksburg that morning. And we walked in and very nice people there. And I said, I need the nicest and the best waitress you got. And I'm just picking, you know, but they led me to the back. And the man said, you got the best coming. Yeah, her name was Yana. Yana came to our table. We ordered our coffee, and she brought it out, and she took our breakfast order. And you've been around me enough. My radar's on at all times. I'm looking for somebody to tell them about Jesus Christ. I'm looking for somebody to invite to church. Pretty soon, I said, Yana, I want to invite you to church tomorrow. And she said, well, I'm going to church tomorrow. She said, I have my church. I said, oh, where you attend church? She said, I attend whatever Catholic church here in Vicksburg. I said, oh, good. I said, let me tell you what God's doing. And I shared with him. I said, I use it like this. You know, Yana, I said, my great-great-grandmother was a Catholic. And she was praying on her rosary beads. And as she was praying her rosary, something happened. The Holy Ghost fell on her. They tell me the rosary beads disappeared when the Holy Ghost came. God radically filled her with the Holy Ghost. You see, I didn't come against her and said, oh, you bunch of, no. I gave her something that intrigued her, that there is a power in the Holy Ghost. She said, you know, that is amazing. She said, what time is the night service? And I said, well, I think it starts at 7. She said, I'll be there. Sunday night service, Yana and her bar friend came. This 22-year-old colored girl, amen, there in that service, amen, never been in a Pentecost. And Sister C seen her. And she invited her to come sit with her. And she asked the question, why is everybody, when there's people walking and praying and people praying out loud all over the building, hands lifted. Well, Sister Crosswhite gets to instruct her. And pretty soon, we start service. And the Holy Ghost starts moving. People start jumping up and down. People start worshiping God. Amen. But that night I preached about you got to be born again. I preached every one of us are born with a death sentence. And God has a life sentence for us. You don't have to go to hell. Or I looked over there and that little girl was intrigued. I mean, the Holy Ghost started moving in the preaching. People started shouting. Amen. People started, I mean, old-fashioned shouting. All over the building, the Holy Ghost fell. And when I walked over to Yana, she was weeping and she was shaking all over. Amen. Her legs were shaking. Her body was shaking. And I explained, Sister C was already trying to help her and coach her. Amen. For the first time ever, something turned on. And she realized these people have something. This is something happening here. She said, I've never seen this or felt this in my life. I laid my hand on Yana and the power of God, she started shaking all over. Her lips began to quiver and she began to shake. Amen. Under the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling somebody today, there is still power and light in God. Amen. She didn't speak with other tongues, but she had stammering lips for a long time. Church is following up with her. And I pray that this morning, amen, she'll get the opportunity to be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe in God to do a mighty work there. I want to tell you, it's amazing to watch the faces. Brother Corbett's been in jail just long enough to watch. Amen. In our jail ministry, to watch the faces of young men and women, amen, and old men and women, when the Holy Ghost began to deal with them. They never heard this gospel of repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. But oh, when the Holy Ghost turns a light on, what a joy it is to watch the difference. Hallelujah. Now, God still wants to turn the light on for people. You remember the day God turned the light on for you? And you seen the importance. And many of you, amen, let me see the hands of first generation Pentecostals here. Amen. Look here. First generationers. Amen. There was nobody before you. Amen. You are a first generation. Amen. You never seen this. You never partook of this. Nobody ever shared this with you. Amen. Until, amen, that moment where God turned the light on. I want to tell you, it's still priceless to me, even though I'm not a first generationer. Amen. Oh, I still love the truth. When I read Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 38, it still percolates in my soul. There's a joy there. There's still a sense of love and appreciation that God would have mercy on my soul. Amen. And when God turns the light on, there's a holy conscience that comes about. He pricks the heart. There's a realization, I sure need this. I need God. And it's amazing that when God turns the light on, God just don't, all of a sudden the light just don't fade out. But God will leave the light on for you. And God will guide you with his light. God will lead you out of the way of darkness. I'm telling you, it's not a one-time thing. Amen. The Holy Ghost is not just something you get, and once you get it, it's over with. No, friend, today God is still guiding my life with his light. I'm still learning. God is still convicting me of things. As you walk in the light, guess what happens? You're going to start laying down things. Amen. The closer you get to the finish line, the more things you're going to lay down in life that are meaningless. I heard a man just say the other day, he's sitting in this room, I'm not going to point him out. He said, Brother Crosswhite, amen, every day it's like things don't matter anymore. Materialistic things are worthless to me. Amen. I'll tell you the reason why. As we walk in the light, amen, the things of darkness and the things of worldliness and the things of this world don't matter anymore. Because there's a greater value that comes when you start seeing the things of God. How beautiful. And the journey of walking with God, there's things, entanglements, that now we can see and we steer away from those. And it's kind of like coming to church for years on 59, right before you get to the 259 bridge, there's always been on the right lane a big old hole. And Sister Kathy Gilson, when she was alive, she pointed that out. She would tell Sister Crosswhite, you need to get in another lane because there's that big old hole in the road. It's been there for years. They patch it up. They fill it up. And it's still there today. On the way to church this morning, guess what I seen? And I avoided that big old hole because I'm aware of it. I'm a conscious of it. Amen. It's there up in that right lane. Amen. If you're going to turn and you're going to circle back around and get on that 59 business, amen, you're going to hit that hole if you're not careful. You got to look for it. And that's what happens when the light is turned on your life. You start seeing things that will damage you. Things that will entangle you, things that will offset you, things that will be weights to you, things that will cause problems to your relationship with God and your relationship to other people. Yes, indeed. The light turned on and you're able to see some things. Amen. And there's something that comes alive inside of us. They were pricked in their heart. And the Bible says they gladly receive the word. Gladly receive the word, gladly obey the word of God. Friend, I don't know about you. Amen. I gladly am thankful to obey the word of God today. If the Lord begins to work on you, you ought to be glad to do it. Amen. There's some people wrestle with things, and when they finally lay it down, they realize, you know, it's worth it. How many used to wrestle with something that you couldn't let go? And it seemed like you wrestled with it. It was something you loved, something you liked. But the day that you finally said, I'm done with it. Amen. Oh, what joy. Oh, what lightness and victory God gave you because you finally got a hold and you laid it down for Jesus. I'm glad for the power of the Holy Ghost. I was thinking today and yesterday. I did some study about, not too long ago I studied about it and I preached about it, but yesterday I just couldn't get away from it. I had to go back to the city of Nineveh where God called Jonah. And he said, Jonah, there's a terrible, wicked city. And I just had to go back and research about Nineveh. You know, Nineveh wasn't a Jewish country. Nineveh was a pagan people. Nineveh was a place that God was ready to destroy. I mean, it was horrible. And the Lord, somehow, he seen something in a city that was so horrible. I want you to just get, amen, how bad it was. Nineveh was so bad that Jonah said, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I'll go to Tarshish. Nineveh was so perverted. So extreme sin, such extreme sin conditions was there that everybody, when they talked about Nineveh, it was a place that nobody wanted to go. Who in their right mind has sense enough to say that they want to go downtown New Orleans? If you only knew somebody that's from that area, knew how horrible downtown New Orleans is. There's people say, whoa, we're going to New Orleans. Well, you park your car in certain parts of New Orleans, you won't have a car left. New Orleans is horrible. Murder. I mean, prostitution. I mean, it is a sick city. But there are people, oh, we're going to New Orleans. Not too long ago, there was somebody that I had met through the years here, and he and his wife were at Kinfolks, and he said, preacher, have you ever been to New Orleans? Yeah, there's some beautiful places in New Orleans. But New Orleans, by the most, is horrible. I said, it's almost like having to go through a dumpster and have to eat something at the bottom of that dumpster. I said, oh, yes, the French Quarter's nice. All this, they got beautiful homes there, beautiful things there. And I said, they got great food, but it ain't worth going to. It's like being a dumpster diver and trying to get a steak out of the bottom of it that has been exposed to you know what. His wife looked at me. She looked at her husband. I said, you wanted the truth? I said, go somewhere decent. And she said, we had a better picture of New Orleans than that. I said, but whenever you go and you see what I'm talking about, you don't ever want to go back. When God has brought you out of darkness, amen, you don't want to ever go back. When God has reached down and pulled you out of the hole of sin, out of the septic system of sin, amen, you have a message that says, I don't want to go back. Nineveh was a horrible place. Nineveh was so bad, its reputation. It was a trash pile of society. Hopeless, morally sick-minded people. I mean, they would take their little boys and use their little boys, use their little girls. Incest, rape. I mean, you name it. It was sick and it was horrible. Men with men, women with women. Go ahead, it kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? It was horrible. But God seen something in Nineveh. There was something God said, even though it's the worst of the worst, it's the bottom of the pit. It's the bottom of the trash can. I'm sending somebody with a message of mercy. And Jonah looked at the city of Nineveh and said, I'm not going. That's a horrible place. And Nineveh, Jonah went the other way, but you know the message. How Jonah finally, the Lord's got a hold of him. And when he came back with a message, you got 40 days to turn. God's going to destroy this city. The Bible says the whole city repented. When they repented, they did more than just say, okay, we're going to stop this for the next 40 days because God might destroy us. No, they repented. They tore down altars. They put a stop to sin. It wasn't a timeout. It was a stop to sin. They turned from sin to God. I want to tell somebody, when God turns the light on, you won't just take a timeout. You're going to stop it. You're going to turn to God. You're going to give up and let God have everything in your life. Are you thankful for that day that you gave up? Are you thankful for that day that God said, come on, I want to wash you. There's no way. Amen. There's no way. I wouldn't gamble home on my life. Amen. But I'm thankful that God seen something in us that he loved and gave us an opportunity. He saw not what I was, but he saw what I could be. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. So he had mercy, turned a light on for Nineveh. And when God used Jonah to go preach, the light was turned on. The whole city turned. And because of their response, even though they had bad reputation and were in bad condition, all it took was a turn to the Almighty God. And God spared the city because of their repentance. Are you thankful for that day that God spared your soul? My hallelujah. How many are thankful today? Come on. I believe I'm talking to somebody who ought to remember where God's brought you from. Amen. Remember where God's brought you from. And remember what God did for you. He didn't have to do it, but he did it. He turned a light on for you. And he gave you an opportunity. He put hope in your life. In your miserable life, he's given you a chance. I was thinking too about the woman at the well. On the fourth chapter, Samaria. The Jews did not like the Samaritans because of some practices. They had changed some things out of even the Ten Commandments. And history will tell you that the Jews, they were there for purity. They were there for things and that really mattered. And the Samaritans started doing things that were, you know, they still wanted to have a little bit of religion, but they started mixing around. They started doing the things. And the Bible says it was so bad that the Jewish people, when they would go from this part to the next part, that instead of going right through Samaria, that's the way to get there, would go right through Samaria. They would go miles around Samaria to get to the other place. I mean, they would have to cross the Jordan River. They had to go around and make a whole big journey just because they did not want to travel through Samaria. It was a sticky thing to them. To go to Samaria meant, I don't want to go through it. I mean, but Jesus in John the 4th chapter said, I must needs go to Samaria. Oh, you're thankful that Jesus came to where you're at. Oh, you ought to lift your hands and thank the Lord that day that he came to where you were at and got a hold of your heart and got a hold of your life. I must needs go to Samaria. And they came to the city of Sychar, which was the center of a lot of activities. And he sent his disciples on to get food. And there came a woman to the well, noon hour. I know all the arguments. Some people don't think that she had bad reputation. I've been there. I've learned all the debates. But I know that Jesus came to where she was at. And all the study that I made, in spite of everything, I still find that this woman had a horrible reputation, it seems. And there was a time of great need in her life. Obviously, she has been written off by many different people, hopeless, helpless, and somebody that you didn't want to be around. But Jesus had a purpose. Jesus had a reason. Are you thankful that Jesus has a reason for your life? Jesus has a purpose for your life. Amen. There, at the well, this woman comes to draw water, and she finds a Jewish person sitting on the well that says, give me to drink. She looks at him. She said, first of all, I'm a Samaritan. Jews have nothing to do with stinky Samaritans. You're asking me for a drink? That goes against all the grain. I'm glad that God went against every grain of everything, amen, that reached to us. Amen. And Jesus at that point said, if thou only knewest the gift of God, you would ask me to drink, and I would have given you living water. I'm thankful that when the Lord turns the light on, she said, sir, you don't have a bucket. Are you greater than our father that gave us this well? This well is a deep well. Jesus said, oh, so you think that the one that gave you this well is superior? Let me tell you who I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Amen. I'm greater than Abraham. Amen. Are you thankful, saint of God, that you got a God that's greater and more superior than any sinful thing, anything that seems to be so drastic? Amen. Oh, he's a reason to live. And oh, what a reason he's given us today. Amen. Oh, friend. Amen. You don't have enough rope. You don't have enough bucket. But I have a God that says, I'm going to put in you a well. Spring it up into everlasting life. She ran to the city for getting her pot. Ooh. See, when the light turns on, priorities of life all of a sudden dissolve. Ambitions of life. Amen. Oh, Sister Kristen had a great ambition. Sister Kristen used to sing country and western music. And people used to scream, chalk, 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 chalk. She would grab that guitar, and she would sing her country and western music in places, and everybody would get excited. But that day that God filled Kristen Chalk with the Holy Ghost, all those ambitions, oh, even faded away. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Are you thankful that the light turned on in your life and the old ambitions passed away? And behold, all things become new. Woman runs back to the city and she gathers everybody and said, come see a man who's told me all things. I'm telling you, she set the stage for Jesus to present the gospel to these people. Amen. And I still believe as a result of that, amen, it set the stage for a mighty revival later on in the country, in the city of Samaria. Amen. I'm telling somebody today, when God turns a light on, what a difference it makes. When God lets his light shine in a heart, oh, what joy, oh, what peace, oh, what truth comes to somebody. Next one I thought about was Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, religious man, Pharisee, very religious. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the scripture of that hour. The New Testament wasn't even written then. Next thing we find that Nicodemus, by history, was a very wealthy man. Next thing we find about Nicodemus, he was a ruler of the Jews. He had authority. Three things that everybody wants in life: money, authority, and they want to have some kind of security. He was religious, and he thought he had all kind of security. But the Bible says he came to Jesus by night in his insecurity. A man that seemed to have everything together comes to Jesus by night, and he approaches Jesus with a question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? Something must have turned on in Nicodemus, that he saw something in Jesus Christ. The light must have turned on, Brother Coon, for this man to slip away and get to where Jesus is at. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. And Nicodemus, he was thinking of fleshly womb. And he was thinking of the impossibility. There's no way I could be born again. My mother it's passed away. My mother's gone. But Jesus said, you got to be born again of the water and of the spirit to see or enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. If you study about Nicodemus, Nicodemus, he obviously got a hold of what Jesus was saying. The light was turned on and the Lord guided him. I don't care how bad drastically you are, Nineveh. I don't care how bad the reputation your life is, woman at the well. And I don't care how good you are, Nicodemus, how well fit you are. You still have to be born again of the water and of the spirit. Are you thankful for the grace of God? Are you thankful for the day that the Lord came to you? Amen. Then the next one I thought about was Saul of Tarsus. Oh, Saul of Tarsus was very ambitious about what he thought God. He felt he had it all. He felt he had the fullness of the truth. He felt he had it all down to the part where even he hated those that call themselves Christians. He was there at the stoning of Stephen, where Stephen quoted from the Psalms, and he said, if happily you may seek after the Lord and find him, though he be not very far from every one of us. Stephen was there, heard that. Or Saul was. And later on, he had letters to arrest those that preached this truth. And as he journeyed, the Bible says, on the road to Damascus, suddenly there came a light from heaven. And it shone and blinded him. And I like to tell everybody, it knocked him off his horse. I'm thankful for the light knocked me off of my horse. Are you thankful for the light? Amen. What it would do for your life when you let God's light work in your life? It blinded him. And he said, okay, who art thou, Lord? Now you see, God had to blind some things to reveal some things. And the Lord answered, I am Jesus, whom thou hast persecuted. Boy, I'm telling you, and the Lord didn't stop there. You see, the light went on just blind you. The light's not just going to tell you, but the light will guide you and point you the direction you need to go. He said, go in the city, and it's going to be there. There's going to be somebody waiting there. Go to this certain address, and it's going to be told you what you need to do. You know, the Lord could have sent an angel. Angels were not made to carry the gospel. The Lord could have gave him exactly the things, but he said, I'm going to use man. Hear me, son of God. We can have church, and we can say, oh, God, draw them. But the Lord is looking for somebody to be the light. He's looking for somebody to tell our world what they need to do. Amen. Over the angels don't do it, but the people that have been born again, that the light has been turned on in their life, God has called you and commissioned you to take this gospel to whosoever will. But they're Nineveh. Oh, but they're a woman at the well. Oh, they're too religious for me. I thank God that the light will fit at every occasion. Amen. Oh, friend, thank God for the light. There, Saul became Apostle Paul, the great light bearer of the gospel. Amen. Oh, because that day the light turned on in his life. When the light is turned on, you must follow it. You must live in the light. You must walk in the light. You must let it live inside of you. You must guard the light. You must keep the light. Amen. Oh, friend, I want to tell you, the enemy is after the light. The enemy is after the candle of the Lord. Don't let it burn out of your life. Keep the light burning. Keep the oil in your lamp. Amen. Keep the fire burning inside of your soul. This is worth it. Let God's light shine in you. Hallelujah. Conviction. I mentioned it a while ago, got to do it again. Conviction should never be a one-time deal. You ought to grow in conviction. Convictions ought to grow in you. I've been in church 40 years. That don't mean anything. You grow in God. Your faith grows. You become stronger in the things of God. The light begins to guide you into more and more and more. This thing ought to get better and better and better, like somebody said a while ago. Amen. It ought to get gooder every step of the way, closer to the finish line. It ought to be worth it, Brother Jeff. Amen. Every day that we live, hey, we're one day closer to the kingdom. It makes every day better than the day before. I can make it through the night. Amen. Knowing that tomorrow I'm just one day closer to the throne. Praise God. When God turns the light on, what a difference it makes. You look at yourself. You examine your soul. The Word of God is like a mirror. You look in it. You see what's looking back at you. I can't believe it. How long have I looked like this? My younger brother was in the country of Rwanda. In just a little area, a little village with nothing but huts made out of mud and straw. And for the first time ever, he took a picture with his phone and one of the ladies that were there. And when he took her picture, he turned his phone around and said, "This is you." She had never seen her picture ever in her life. Never. And it amazed her. So he had to explain it about his camera on a phone. He turned around and he said, basically, watch this. He took a picture of a little child right there. And he held it up. That's that child, right? And he took another of her. This is you. Are you thankful for the day that the Lord revealed you? And you realize, oh God, my life is so undone. I'm so broken. I'm so messed up. The Lord said, hold it. I see something in your life. You see, when the light turns on, there's also the hope and the grace of God, that God has something better for your life. Amen. Oh, friend, when we look in the Word of the Lord, we see something God reveals. When God reveals, that means there's still hope. There's still healing. I love to watch it when somebody that's never ever tasted of the Holy Ghost, never seen it. Amen. Oh, it's been years ago. I watched Brother Fancher in jail one time preach. And there was a big old boy in that jail service, Brother Fancher, while you was preaching. That day, he looked and you gave your testimony. You began to talk to them. And all of a sudden, a dawning happened. The most valuable thing ever in a life is that dawning, a realization of who you're not and who he is. Amen. I'm thankful I know who Jesus is right now. Amen. Are you thankful that you found out that he is more than just one who sits and occupies in a distant throne? Are you thankful that you found out he's more than just one up there, a big angry God with a hammer in his hand? How many are thankful today that the hand of God has love and the hand of God is healing? The hand of God has contentment and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Amen. God will fit what you need in your life, friend. Amen. Oh, I'm preaching today to souls in this house. Amen. Oh, you ought to be thankful for the light being turned on in your life. I want you to lift your hands and lift your voice to God right now. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I still remember and recall the day that I explained the truth to a young lady that 14 kids now, she raised none of them. In and out of prison, she was 44 years old and has served most of her life in the penitentiary and in jail. How many trays of food has she eaten that was slid to her? How many prison garments has she worn all these years? She was so, so impoverished looking. When she told me she was 44, it blew my mind because she looked like she was 74, 84 years old. So messed up. When I talked to Andrea that day, that jail, and I taught her, what must I do to be saved? That God would forgive her. She had been to church services. Inside the prison, they have service. They have chapel. They have different things. She had been in many different religious groups and where they would try to culture different things. And she had notebooks of things that she had collected through the years. But I remember that particular day. When she said, you mean God would forgive me? She said, I've been baptized probably about 10 times, Pastor. She says, and I'm still a miserable person. She said, I still get to the place where out of my mouth comes filth. She said, I still want to get my hands on people and wring their necks. But that morning, as I began to talk to her, I looked as tears started rolling down her face. And pretty soon, I'm telling you, snot from both nostrils started coming down. And she was not even one bit worried about it. She lifted her hands. God filled her with the gift of the Holy Ghost right there in this county jail. You know what happened? Amen. I baptized her in Jesus' name. You know what happened? The time after that? She knew she was going back to prison and probably would never get out. I want to tell you, every time the Holy Ghost moved, she had never been in an apostolic service. Brother Coach had never been in an apostolic service in her life. But this woman, when the Holy Ghost would come on her, would fall on that filthy, nasty floor and start travailing in the Holy Ghost. I mean travail like I've seen people travail when I was a kid. She would pray, and she would pray with such a fervency. Right before she left, she said, "Pastor, I want to give you all my belongings." She said, "Put them at the church and hope that I get out soon." She said, "I don't know if I'm going to get out or not." All she had to her name was an old trash bag full of junk. She said, "I hope I get out." Brother Zach and I took that trash bag and we put it for many years in the red building back here. And we put it in a container hoping that Andrew would be one of the prayer warriors of this church. Andrew didn't make it out of prison, but she finished the course of her life, breathed her last breath. I want to tell somebody today, I'm thankful for the light. Even the light of mercy, the light of grace, that God didn't have to. I'll tell you, God didn't have to one bit, Sister Carmen, shine his light for us. But he did it because he loves us. And there's hope, just like Nineveh. Everybody says, "No way." Just like the woman at the well, "No way." Oh, just like Nicodemus, "He's got it. He don't need this." But every one of us needs the light shining in our life. Amen. Don't ever get to that place where you get so cold away from God that you think, I'm hopeless. There's no way. I'm a burned over field. I have no hope. I had a guy just tell me the other day, preacher, he said, "Oh, brother, that's a burned over field." Talking about a certain location. And I looked at him and I said, "Do you mean to tell me that that place has no hope for God to work?" He says, "It's a burn over field. There's no way." And here's a man that's supposed to know the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, there's no such thing as a burn over field when you've got the King of Kings living in the light of God. There's no such thing as a hopeless case, even when God is alive. Hey, Jesus Christ went to the cross for the worst of the worst and for the best of the best. I don't care who you are, what category of life you're in. Amen. All the blood of Jesus Christ still flows. Amen. You may be a good person, but hell is full of good people. You still need the light of God, the power of God in your life. I want you to stand in this place this morning and lift your hearts to the King of Kings. His light he wants to turn on. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord, would you reach your hands up? Amen. Come on, just don't do it because we exercise, amen, this every time when it's time for the altar service. You ought to lift your hands to God. Amen. You ought to thank him today that he would have mercy on your soul. Hallelujah. One more time in this place that he would give you that connection of his grace and love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amazing grace, Sister Kristen. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. If you're thankful for the grace of God, I want you to come. If you haven't fully obeyed the word of God in your life, I want you to come and make up your mind today. God, I've got to obey some things. I've got to get some things right. I've got to get some things in order. I've got to put some things in its place today. Hallelujah. Come on, God's come on. Hell is not for you, but God's for you. Hell is not for your salvation, but God is for you today. Amen. Over and don't live another day without the light being turned on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing it, Sister Christian, when you get a chance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amazing.
Come on, it still has a sound. Sweet the sound.
The sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind.
Oh, there's light today for you to see. You can see, for you to see. Hallelujah. Come on, talk to Jesus this morning.
Amazing grace.
It's worth it to walk in the light. It's worth it when the lights turn on for your soul.
Once blind, but now I see.
Next to somebody and pray with them right now. Come on. Come on. The power of the word today. Come on, it still works. Hallelujah. The light still works. Come on, be serious enough to pray with somebody. How precious.
It's
Would you help me pray for this brother to God, fill him with the Holy Ghost this morning? The promises of Brother Luis and to his children and to all that are far off, the promise of the Holy Ghost. I want you to believe the Lord right now. Come on. God's still in the filling business. Amen. God still can. This man's hungry for something today.
Grace, my fear,
lift your hands and just thank the Lord with me right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your power, your goodness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I worship you, Jesus. Amen. Thomas had followed Jesus. Thomas had seen Jesus crucified. And he heard that Jesus was going to rise again. Other disciples had seen Jesus. And he said, I'm not going to believe until I take my hands and put in his nail-scarred hands. And I love it when Jesus said, Thomas, here, touch my side. Touch my hands. I'm glad I'm able to touch the Lord right now. You see, some people have different means of learning. Some people are visual learners. Some people are those that hear it. Then there's some of us, we got to touch, taste, and sample it in order for us to see it. And Thomas, when he touched it, touched his side, what was his word? My Lord and my God. I feel my Lord and I feel my God here today. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands one more time? Amen. Would you touch him? Amen. Would you touch the Lord? My Lord and my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for being right here for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My Lord and my God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Even Brother Lewis is so close to the Holy Ghost, y'all. I'm telling you, he is right there close. I mean, there to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're so thankful. Amen. And don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Amen. Oh, yeah, we want to say surprised. Amen. Because God's ready to pour it out. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're excited for your life, brother. God brought him from Cuba here for a purpose. Amen. There's a purpose. God brought him to America, the place of freedom, place of plenty. But he's also brought him to the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. To fill his soul with the goodness of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless you, saints of God. Remember service this evening and this week. Amen. We want to be mindful of our children's crusade. If you could help in any way. And Brother Atkins and Sister Angie's been working hard. Josh has been up here working hard. And they need probably need some help getting us all together tonight after service. We'll move this pulpit, right, and get this platform ready to put props up here, sets up here for the it'll be a Western theme. Anybody seen any cows laying around here? Cows grazing in the front of the church? There's some cows out there. Amen. It's going to be Western theme. So Thursday night when you come to church, it's okay for you to wear your cowboy boots. It's okay. Amen. Come, and we're going to have a great time. And we're going to enjoy the rubber bandit and his horse boots. And it's going to be fun and exciting. But better than that, we're going to believe the Lord to fill people with the Holy Ghost. Now, Saturday, it'll be a 10 o'clock service, and after that service, we will have out in the parking lot area, we will have a Dunkin' booth. We have two inflatables, a bounce house, basically, and a slide. We will have games, some game booths. There will be hot dogs, popcorn, cotton candy, and snow cones. And, of course, there will be a watering trough where you can go get you some good lemonade and stuff and enjoy the time together. And this is for everybody. This is for everybody. I get to the place many times. I go places, and it was a mindset that there. I want you here. I want our church family here. I want our adults here. Amen. Help us out. God bless you. Let's go to heaven. How? Brother and Sister Miller, always, thank you for being with us. Amen. It is a great pleasure to have y'all. Amen. And God be with everybody today. God bless you.